National Radio Club.
Welcome back to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for March 2009. Well, let's start off side two with a book review. This is called Radio and Other Elements of Our History by Andy Ohms, who can be contacted at the email address of oomspine@msn.com. Andy is a National Radio Club member, DX Audio Service member, and he can be contacted also via the DX Audio Service. If you'd like to write him a letter, I'll be happy to forward it on.
Move along to the top of the third in just a moment with the shortstop for Chicago, Jack Luttrell, coming on, followed by Dick Drott, and then by the leadoff man, Bobby Morgan. Sandy Koufax now has five strikeouts. Dick Drott has four. So we're really having one going here tonight. Dodgers 3, Cubs nothing. Top of the third, back to action, and here again is Ben.
Drott has a sign now. Dick winds and delivers. Fastball cut on is a high drive to deep center field, going away back near the bleachers. Just watching it, it's gone. Lee Walls just had to let her go.
Andy writes, radio was one of the major cultural influences of the last century. And as you are reading this magazine, there is no doubt that you will disagree. A couple of other aspects of our culture grew along with radio and greatly influenced and were influenced by each other. These are advertising and baseball. Of course, I know that modern AM/DXing, with its concerns about IBOC, X-band, crowded frequencies, and the impact of satellite radio, is an entirely different hobby than old-time radio listening and history. But here are a couple of reasons that DXers today might be interested in some parts of OTR history. The first reason is that many DXers are interested in the content of AM radio, in addition to the other fascinating aspects of catching and identifying available signals. The second reason is that although radio has been good for advertising and baseball, those items have also been good for radio throughout its programming history and are good for DXers today. To say that baseball has kept alive radio during the past 80 years would be quite a stretch. But over-the-air advertising has been one of the major reasons that radio, as we know it in this country, with its numerous stations and formats, can be attributed to advertising. Also, it is not unusual for a broadcast commercial to help a DXer determine the city and state of a station whose legal ID has not been heard or understood. And, of course, the DX News listing of baseball teams, play-by-play networks, are often invaluable to current DXers trying to identify a new station. For the old-time radio fan, the good news is that a recent book about radio and baseball, and another one about radio advertising. Baseball Over the Air, subtitled The National Pastime on the Radio and in the Imagination, was written by Tony Silva in 2007. Tony is a professor and director of the Department of Journalism and Media Studies at the University of South Florida. A lot of people who love old-time radio are not necessarily interested in its sports history. But many of us enjoy both OTR and sports and their history together. Growing up in a small South Dakota town, hundreds of miles away from any Major League Baseball city, it was a wonderful thing for me to be interested in baseball, though Wheaties boxes dedicated to stars like pitcher Bob Feller and Stan Musial, our hometown adult and high school teams, and especially the game of the day on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Baseball cities like Chicago, for example, had every Cubs and White Sox game broadcast on WGN, WCFL, WIND, or WMAQ. Even WTAQ in LaGrange, Illinois, was the White Sox flagship station for a year or two. But out in the remote regions, where no daytime radio signal could be heard from any major league city, and in the days before television, the game of the day was extremely popular. Mutual had over 300 stations at one time, most of them in towns and small cities. Each day during the summer, a different set of teams was carried on the network. This was back before any teams existed west of St. Louis. It is doubtful that Mutual had any more significant programming except The Shadow and Queen for a Day in its interesting history. In my town, listeners would sit in front of various businesses, such as gas stations, listening and commenting on the game in progress and on baseball in general. Game of the Day was an accurate name. Not much night baseball existed yet. During the World Series, the weekday afternoon games were heard in our high school study hall. Class dismissed, beginning to end, until school was out or the game ended. The content of baseball over the air is evidence that thousands of fans listened to the game play-by-play broadcast outside of hundreds of gas stations in towns and cities throughout the land, as well as in countless other businesses, homes, and vehicles. Naturally, the growth of the portable radio market also helped in broadcasting the game. For a few years, another network carried, and in fact was based on, daily baseball games during the season. This was the Liberty Broadcasting System, an upstart in the late 40s amongst the four major radio networks in existence, ABC, CBS, Mutual Broadcasting System, and NBC. Liberty had trouble with getting permission to broadcast games from the major leagues, and in fact, most of the games they carried were studio recreations of the basic game data received via telegraph, expanded on and rounded out with invented details and recorded crowd noise. Not long after finally failing to find a legal way to carry the games, Liberty ceased to exist. Famous for his imaginative use of game recreations, Liberty founder Gordon McClendon went on to become perhaps more famous as the acknowledged father of top 40 radio in the 50s. Many other major and minor league away games were recreations from telegraphed data. Ronald Reagan was proud of his employment as a broadcaster of such games for an Iowa station. Many stories exist, some true, about delayed telegraphed information or connection problems resulting in the studio broadcaster manufacturing details to keep the broadcast going, such as reporting 18 successive foul balls until it could be determined what the final outcome at bat was. Baseball Over the Air covers the history of baseball games broadcast from the first game in 1921, Pittsburgh Pirates over KDKA Pittsburgh, to its most recent innovation on satellite radio. Famous names, Red Barber, Graham McNamee, and Harry Carey, and famous games like Bobby Thompson's shot heard around the world to win the pennant for the Giants in 1951 are discussed. Professor Silva also writes about the role of imagination involving the broadcasters and the listeners, and the sense of community felt by listeners to baseball radio. Baseball has done well on the radio. By the 30s, when it was becoming a normal part of each team's product, radio programming professionals predicted that live baseball would not be a lasting phenomenon, that it would never be the sensation that radio soap operas have become, with up to 250,000 women mailing in dimes once a week for premiums or receipts offered on one of the daily broadcast dramas. Well, the last of the radio soap opera was in the early 60s. Baseball radio is stronger than ever, with some teams, Atlanta, Cincinnati, and St. Louis, having networks in some years of more than 100 stations in many of these small cities that their home state has and in nearby states. I doubt radio soaps will be back. I can't envision radio without baseball. For nostalgia lovers, baseball broadcasts are still sounding much like they did 60 years ago. Not many programs or formats from that long ago are still around. It's not easy to think of any besides the Metropolitan Opera, or Paul Harvey. The book is 222 pages. A lot of enjoyment for baseball fans, radio fans, and even general history fans. It is a publication of McFarland & Company, publishers Jefferson, North Carolina, and London.
Well, Morgan pops out to shallow left field. The Cubs go out in order 1-2-3. Colfax has retired the last 8 men in a row. The guy who struck out 18 was Bob Feller, and now here's Jerry.
You know, folks, the Schaefer people have been brewing their famous beer for 115 years now. It's America's oldest lager beer.
Hey, Columbus, we can't turn back without an order from you.
I'm not talking while the flavor lasts.
What are you chewing?
Peach nut gum.
We could be in for a long voyage.
Not so many years ago, tomato soup and cream of tomato were unusual dishes, enjoyed very much, but not very often. There's just one reason for tomato soup's popularity, and it is this. The magic, matchless flavor of Campbell's tomato soup.
J-E-L-L. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family.
Thirsty people everywhere prefer ice-cold Pepsi-Cola.
Yo-ho, yo-ho, brush, let's all add our voice, whichever you the notion.
50 cents for shaving cream, a dollar for the lotion.
I'm a very lucky boy, I'd get it to zero pop. And I'm a very lucky girl, I've got it to zero pop.
Jim Cox is a retired college professor and is award-winning author because of his prolific research and writing on old-time radio. He has written definitive books on radio soap operas, radio sitcoms, radio music, radio audience participation shows, and several other books on that genre. One of his latest is Sold on Radio, Advertising the Golden Age of Broadcasting, published in 2008. We all know that advertising is not unique to radio, and of course advertising is much older than radio, probably beginning with the first arrows painted on a cliff pointing toward the nearest purveyor of meat or hides or spices. But radio advertising have cut quite a cultural path in tandem since the first radio commercial, which occurred soon after the beginning of radio programming in the 1920s. Although at one time some government officials and radio pioneers felt that radio broadcasting in the United States should be above commercialism, reality soon prevailed. Although we have all been irritated by radio commercials at one time or another, the alternatives also have negative aspects, and I think the result in this country has worked well enough. Alternatives include annual receiver licenses, such as in the United Kingdom, fund drives, as practiced by most educational stations in this country, or government controls, a la Radio Havana Cuba and China Radio International, and all the stations in and around those countries. Jim's book summarizes advertising and the marketing history before radio and segues into the radio advertising record during the years of the golden age of radio, beginning in the 20s and continuing to some degree up to the 60s. The role of sponsors, advertising agencies, networks, stations, radio personalities, and listener consumers are explored. The author's love of radio data is almost as great as it is for some of us. He met my needs in this book by covering the history of 24 largest sponsored companies of radio network programming, size determined by the amount of time purchased. 8 of those sponsors still exist as independent companies, Procter & Gamble, for example. 8 operating under different names as they did during the radio era covered. 2 are still in business under the same name now as then, but they are subsidiaries of other companies. 6 of the 24 largest advertisers no longer exist in any form, although in some cases one or more of their product lines may still be around as shadows of the company that they used to be a part of. Somewhat interestingly, three of the six non-survivors are tobacco companies. For these 24 major sponsors, virtually every network program sponsored by them is listed by name, years broadcast, network, and specific products paying for that program. The Procter & Gamble segment, for example, lists 87 programs, an amazing number even for those who know all about soap operas and P&G's products. The history of the companies before the golden age of radio and since is reported, as well as other interesting bits of data, such as which sponsors seem to favor certain networks or shun certain networks. In addition to the 24 major sponsors, an appendix devotes a paragraph each to 100 other advertisers, describing the type of company, its brand names, and significant radio program sponsored. Another interesting appendix is a glossary of advertising and broadcast jargon. This is an enjoyable book for this old-time radio fan. And if you're interested in OTR or some popular cultural history of the middle of the last century in this country, you will find it diverting, if not fascinating. This book is also a McFarland publication, and the publisher can be found on the web, or you can call 1-800-253-2187. The radio and baseball book is $39.95, and the radio and advertising book is $55.
Yes, sir, it's us, the McCoys, and I'm Rick Zeringer, here to speak for the four of us. We help keep all hearts beating in good health when we support the work of our Heart Association. How about it? Won't you please give generously to the Heart Fund this month? Give so more will live. Thank you.
Now let's turn it over to you, the Musings to the Members.
This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its editors. Members may muse by calling the Action Line, 24 hours a day.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Schwab calling from Richmond, Virginia. It's January 29th, and I've got a couple of items for you. WLEF on 580 has indeed switched over to 590, and WPMH in Claremont is back on the air at full power on 670. I also wanted to tell you what a great job you did on the Bill Drake article, Fred, and I want to extend my sympathies. It was a very interesting article. I'm extremely interested in the history of programming and that type of thing. Did have a question. I used to listen to Hip Radio on WZLD in KC, Columbia, and on WKYB in Hemingway when I was down in South Carolina. My question was, there was also a radio station in Columbia called WNOK, and they had a service where they would have two new records, two old records, and they would back sell the two new records and then play two old records and have that type of rotation throughout the hour. What I was wondering was, what was this particular service called, and where did it get its programming from, and that type of thing. Anyway, have a great day, and 73s, and good DX, and to all of you.
Hi there, my name is Mike Lance, calling from Miami Beach, Florida, and beginning in March, WINZ is going to go back to sports. They tried it once, it didn't work out. Why can't they do something different? Like maybe music or local talk. It's really sad to see where radio is headed today. It really, really is. I don't understand it. Don't the managers and management understand what the community would like? What happened to real local community radio?
Hello to everyone on the DX Audio Service. Dale Ham in Kansas City, Missouri. I kind of want to let everybody know I'm disappointed in some of the newer modern made radios now, even by C. Crane and the GE3. I played with a GE3 back in mid-January, and the tuning on it was terrible, especially on the AM band. You'd tuned to, say, station in the Houston area, 740, and you hear them on 720 and 700, and then you go up from there off 740, and you're still hearing them. I'm just using that as an example. I've noticed this also in my C-Crane radio, even today, trying to tune in station 50 or 100 miles away on 860 and 810 from below that frequency locally, and also 980 above that frequency, just there's the frequencies up, and this is just all over the band. It's weird. They don't sound like this new digital tuning, because you tune off frequency and this radio station's still there. It's just, I did purchase another C-Crane radio, great kind, that plays without batteries. It has AM, FM, and weather band on it. I was in throughout one night around 9 o'clock in Kansas City on a paratransit vehicle, and this receiver, the AM receiver, was excellent. I got Chicago, a couple of Chicago stations, WDM, WLS. Denver came in real good. Even WSM out of Nashville was coming in great. I'm very pleased with this unit. I bought an Orphan unit for $51, and it works great. And the C-Crane radio was cranked to it for AM, FM, and weather. It works excellent. So I'll let you all know.
Hello, Fred and DXers. This is the one and only Victor speaking to you from the Schmidt House in downtown Silver Spring, Maryland. I just heard that the House voted again on digital TV. The new date is now June the 12th, but I do know some TV stations have gone off the air already in the D.C. area, both public TV. And a friend of mine who was an engineer at Channel 16 in Salisbury told me that a public TV station and a commercial TV station went off in Salisbury. I'm also trying to identify a station at 1200 that carries the Sean Hannity show. I get this station around sunset local time. Right now it's around 5:30, 5:35. During the month of January, I got CJRN, a tourist and travel information station, came in fairly clearly, blocked out WOR for a few minutes. I don't know if they forgot to reduce power or their pattern, or if it is a backscatter problem. And I talked about backscatter last month. Also, one evening, I got very clearly WFBL 1390 in Syracuse. I love the oldies format, and I enjoyed the Doo-Wop Express until somebody realized, we're broadcasting too much power, and they cut back, and the 1390 in Arlington was back, and I could hear the oldies in the background.
This is Pat Cassidy calling from Newcastle, Delaware. I'd like to comment on, I think it was in the January issue of the magazine, that two states were supposed to be having the least amount of stations in them were Rhode Island and Vermont. Well, they may have 16 or 18, but I know one state is smaller, and that's Delaware. We only have 10 AM stations in the whole of Delaware, and 30% of them are Spanish. I don't know how many FMs we've got, because I don't know how many we have downstate. I live in northern Delaware. And I also would like to say that I'll be so glad when IBOC leaves, if it ever does. We have a station in Wilmington, 1290, that had the IBOC, but it's gone now. And I'm so glad of that. Enjoy the magazine, Fred, and I wish everyone a successful spring season.
Hello, Fred and DXers. This is the one and only Victor speaking to you from the Schmidt House in downtown Silver Spring with some additional news here, Monday, February the 9th. It looks like 700 WDMV went silent, and the reason may be because AM 1260 WWRC is now Business Radio and is carrying what 700 used to carry. Air America is no longer in D.C., which has ticked off Senator Debbie Stabenow, who wants to silence conservative talk radio.
This is Pat Cassidy in Newcastle, Delaware. Three big things I want to mention here. First of all, I'd like to ask John Valker if it's still true that WHWH is off the air. What would you be able to get on 1340 in Princeton, New Jersey? Would it be WMID or would it be HHC or both? Second of all, WBIS in Annapolis, Maryland, and I'm doing this on February 20th, WBIS in Annapolis, Maryland is still on the air from Annapolis, Maryland, and I just wanted to let everybody know that. And final thing, I wonder if any of you people on the East Coast have noticed that WCMC on 1230 in Wildwood and WMID on 1340 in Atlantic City seem to get out better than any other stations I've heard on these graveyard frequencies. Are they running extra power, either one of them, or what? I just wonder if anybody else has noticed that, too. You even go to Philadelphia, and you can hear WMID underneath WHAT. And I don't think that's very fair to WHAT. If the station in Princeton is going to stay off, why couldn't they move WHAT up to that frequency? I think that would really solve the problem. Hope you all have a great month. Talk to you later.
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. And if you have something on your mind, something to tell us, give us a call today and yell at us. It's area code 360-469-0189. That's the musings to the members for DX Audio Service members only. Joe, to answer your question about the format, it's hard to say what it is without hearing it, because there are so many companies that have come and gone in the last four decades that have done programming. Besides Drake Chenault, for example, there was the Pepper and Tanner Company, which had an oldie service called Goldmine. There's RPM up in Detroit. There was broadcast programming out in Seattle, I believe it was. The folks at IGM that made the automation systems even had a programming service. There were so many of them. So it's hard to say who did what. And, of course, there was the copycats, too, the companies that would put together a format which sounded like Drake Chenault, but wasn't really the Drake Chenault format. And some stations actually did it themselves by getting their own jingles, getting their own music, and putting together a format. So it's hard to say what is being done and who's doing it. Now, in our next edition of the DX Audio Service, I have an assignment for all of you, and that is to give us a call. I'd like to, for our next edition, which is our anniversary edition, have all the DX Audio Service members just give us a call on the musings line, area code 360-469-0189, and just introduce yourself. Tell us how long you've subscribed to the DX Audio Service, how you found out about us. Tell us a little bit about your radio hobby, and if you have some other hobbies, perhaps talk about them as well. We'd like to hear from you, so please give us a call and tell us a little bit about yourself on the next edition. And I know that a lot of members have been wanting to find out what's going on with me since I've been rather hard to reach of late. Well, you see, there's this thing called the digital transition. I seem to recall somebody mentioning something about that. And I work for a network television station, which is going through said transition. Or at least I thought, because now we're holding off until April the 2nd. So we have a little project going on at the TV station, which is a little interesting. It seems that our little NBC television station here in town decided to buy a couple more TV stations. So pretty soon, our little TV station, which is located in an old ranch house, is going to contain not only NBC, but Fox, ABC, and CBS, and possibly some more stations. And what we're going to be doing is taking our 8.1 channel. 8 is our channel for our digital station. 35 is our old analog frequency or channel. The 8.1 will be NBC. 8.2 will be Fox in high definition, both of them in high definition. And then on channel 35, when the analog goes away, 35.1 will be turned into ABC, and 35.2 will be CBS. And there's the possibility of a few more stations, and there's a station up in Findlay, Ohio, which we're going to have to deal with sooner or later, too. So, looks like a lot of fun for Freddie. So, if you have a problem in getting in touch with me, please, first of all, read the National Radio Club policy for the DX Audio Service. And that tells you a lot about what to do if you have a problem with a tape or a subscription, etc. If you don't have the policy, just write to me and I will send it to you at absolutely no charge. But if you try to call here and you don't get in touch with me and you don't get a call back within a week or two, rest assured I'm not ignoring you. It's just that I'm just extremely busy. And the best thing you can do when you leave a message is tell me what you need. And then that way I can either deal with it, take care of it, or I can write you a letter and explain what's going on. So please do not get alarmed if you don't hear from me after placing a phone call here.
The DX Audio Service.
We rock, you roll. Get it?
There's nothing else quite like it.
It's time now to check the format list and tell you about some changes that have been made to stations' formats. These happened the last couple of months, and if you live by these stations, please double-check us to make sure we keep everything as accurate as possible. 600 WFRM in Coldersport, Pennsylvania is now doing nostalgia format. 600 WVAR in Richwood, West Virginia is rockin' oldies. 630 KFXD in Boise, Idaho is now sports. 690 WIST in New Orleans is nostalgia. 700 KMBX in Soledad, California is now a Spanish format, Spanish AC to be precise. 720 KFIR in Sweet Home, Oregon is now talk. 730 WNAK and Natticoke, Pennsylvania is nostalgia. 740 KIDR in Phoenix, Arizona is Spanish and religion. 770 WAIS in Booktel, Ohio is now country and western. 710 WYRE in Annapolis, Maryland is a contemporary hit radio and oldies. 870 WLVP in Gorham, Maine is oldies. 910 WWWR in Roanoke, Virginia is religious. 910 KTRO in Vancouver, Washington is country and western. 920 KQBU in El Paso, Texas is now talk. 920 KQBU in El Paso, Texas is talk. Also on 920, WVOH in Hazelhurst, Georgia is talk. And finally on 920, WIRD in Lake Placid, New York is nostalgia. 930 WKY in Oklahoma City is now a Mexican Spanish format. 960 WHYL in Carlisle, Pennsylvania is AC and oldies. That's adult contemporary. 980 KRXT in Rosenberg, Richmond, Texas is now a Spanish religion format. 980 WUUS in Rossville, Georgia is oldies. 980 WBZK in York, South Carolina is religion. 990 WNRV in Narrows, Parisburg, Virginia is religion. 1010 WGUN in Atlanta, Georgia is religious. 1010 KIND in Independence, Kansas is now a gospel format. 1020 KMMQ in Plattsmouth, Nebraska is Spanish and nostalgia. 1060 WIXC in Titusville, Florida is talk. 1070 WNCT in Greenville, North Carolina is oldies. 1080 KYMO in East Prairie, Missouri is oldies. 1090 KMXA in Aurora, Colorado is Spanish, Mexican format. 1090 KVOP in Plainsville, Texas, is now sports. 1100 WISS in Berlin, Wisconsin, is now oldies. 1150 WJRD in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, is oldies. 1160 WMET in Gaithersburg, Maryland, is talk. 1180 KOIL in Bellevue, Nebraska, is talk. 1180 KERN in Wasco, Green Acres, California, is now a news talk format. 1220 KMVL in Madisonville, Texas, is now nostalgia. 1230 WYST in Columbus, Ohio, is sports. 1230 WNEB in Worcester, Massachusetts, is talk. 1240 WBHB in Fitzgerald, Georgia, is gospel. 1240 WOMT in Manitowoc, Wisconsin, is adult contemporary. 1240 KNSN in San Diego, California, is now religious. 1270 WHGS in Hampton, South Carolina, is talk. 1280 WJST in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, is sports. 1300 WJYP in St. Albans, West Virginia, is now gospel. 1210 KZXR in Prosser, Washington, is now a Mexican-Spanish format. 1340 WAGN in Menominee, Wisconsin, is now a news talk and talk format. 1340 KYLT in Missoula, Montana, is now a sports format. 1340 WMON in Montgomery, West Virginia, is now gospel. 1340 WNBH in New Bedford, Massachusetts, is sports. 1340 WYBC in New Haven, Connecticut, is now a folk, new age, and AOR format. How about that? 1340 KWOR in Warland, Wyoming, is now talk. 1350 WZGM in Black Mountain, North Carolina, is gospel. 1350 KWMO in Washington, Missouri, is country and western. 1360 WWOW in Conneaut, Ohio, is news and news talk. 1370 KGNO in Dodge City, Kansas, is oldies. 1370 WSHV in South Hill, Virginia, is a gospel and religious format. 1380 WABH in Bath, New York, is now sports. Also in 1380, WPYR in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, is a Spanish and adult contemporary format. 1380 WMTA in Central City, Kansas, is religious. Also on 1380, WGLM in Greenville, Michigan, they're adult contemporary. 1400 WJZM in Clarksville, Tennessee, is now sports. Also on 1400 KXGF in Great Falls, Montana, well, they flipped over to country and western. 1410 KERI in Bakersfield, California, is now religious. 1410 WSCW in South Charleston, West Virginia, they turn to gospel. 1430 KWST in El Central, California. They now have a Spanish and nostalgia format. 1430 KMBQ in Wasilla, Alaska, is now an adult contemporary station. 1440 WCDL in Carbondale, Pennsylvania, is nostalgia. 1450 WHKP in Hendersonville, North Carolina, is now a nostalgia and talk format. 1450 WHTC in Holland, Michigan, is now talk. 1450 KWES in Rosudo, I believe that is, New Mexico, they're sports. 1450 WLKW in West Warwick, Rhode Island, is now sports. 1460 KCLE in Burleson, Texas, is now country and western. And also on 1460 KLTC in Dickinson, North Dakota, they turn to a country and western and a talk format. 1470 WHBO in Dunedin, Florida, is now nostalgia. 1470 WLAM in Lewiston, Maine, is oldies. 1480 KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona, well, they flipped it over to nostalgia. 1490 KFON in Austin, Texas, is now a Spanish and adult contemporary format. 1490 KQDS in Duluth, Minnesota, is sports. 1490 WAZL in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, is now oldies. 1490 WDLC in Port Jervis, New York, is oldies. 1490 WSGB in Sutton, West Virginia, is now a rock and an oldies format. 1540 WRTK in Niles, Ohio is religious and adult contemporary. 1550 KXEX in Fresno, California is Spanish. 1550 WHIT in Madison, Wisconsin, they turned it to oldies. Also on 1550 KFRC, wherever heard those call letters before. In San Francisco, California, that's an oldie station now. 1550 WKTF in Vienna, Georgia, they turned gospel. 1570 WFRL in Freeport, Illinois is now oldies. 1570 WNC in Siler City, North Carolina, they went to an oldies format. 1580 WVKO in Columbus, Ohio, they flipped it from talk to religion. 1590 WKHZ in Ocean City, Maryland, they're now contemporary hit radio and oldies. And finally, up in the land of Canada, 1650 CINA in Mississauga, Ontario, that's now an ethnic station. Any corrections, please send them to us here at the DX Audio Service, and we'll get them in the log and get the information corrected.
WLW, Cincinnati.
Well, let's take about a five-minute jingle break, and then we'll conclude the DX Audio Service for this month, and then we'll see you in 30 days with the anniversary edition.
WHBQ Memphis.
Sagittorix.
On serait devenus de vrais amis en écoutant Luxembourg le jour et la nuit.
Radio London needs more and more music on wonderful BIGL.
Station is 60s on 6, XM Radio, it's fun!
WXYZ, a soulful thing, the band of WMID, Atlantic City.
K-Y, Oklahoma City. More music, K-R-E-M, C-K-G-M, 1050 Chum, 14 see fun, Vancouver.
K-D-B, in Santa Barbara.
It happens sometimes Sunday night.
Someone has stolen KQV's call letters from the station.
And I've stashed them somewhere in Pittsburgh. Try and find them.
K
KQV wants their call letters back. As a reward, we're giving a brand new 1972 Firebird GT to the person who safely returns the KQV call letters. The KQV call letters are 6 inches high and 3 inches wide, and we know that the culprit has hidden them somewhere within the sound of my voice.
If you think you know where the KQV call letters are hidden, you've just won a 1972 Firebird GT.
Now, here is this hour's KQV call letter clue.
Well, this isn't a KQV call letter clue. This is the end of the DX audio service. Well, that's it. That's all. We have no more. We'd like to encourage you to call the Musings line and tell us a little bit about yourself on the next edition of the DX audio service. Until then, good listening, DXers. Get out and support radio.